Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Hello, Yat-A, and welcome to Native Art Voices of the Four Corners. This is your host, Vinaya Yazzi. Today, our special guest is Nate Nez, who is a Navajo artist from New Mexico.
Oh, Yat-A, everything is going good here. Yat-A, Shay, Nathan Nez, and Chef Albuquerque. That's where I reside right now. I'm originally from Whitspin, Arizona, a small little town about 7, 8, 9 miles northeast of Ganado, Arizona.
Hakoshi, right in the middle of the Navajo Nation, in our homelands. It's nice to hear you, and I'm glad I finally caught up with you. You're a busy artist, I know, and I always keep up with all my artists that I interview or the ones that I really enjoy seeing their art on Instagram. Can you go ahead and start out and tell us a little about yourself and about your art and how you became an artist? What is your history, Nate?
Growing up, I didn't really have no art influence as far as history of art or anybody in my family. The only real artist that I kind of look up to was my grandma. She was a Navajo weaver, and that was about as close as art as I got. But when we were younger, I would herd sheep with my grandma, and I would just draw on rocks or draw on the dirt or just the typical Navajo res boy growing up, being able to draw on whatever I could draw on because we didn't have much money to buy paper or art supplies. So I did a lot of that. And then that was my start of my art, because then when I got to elementary, a lot of the teachers would have me draw or do like art classes and things like that. And so that's where a lot of my art came from. And then it just always stuck with me. Like I always had a passion for art. I always had a passion for drawing and exploring. By the time I got to high school, I was doing people's yearbooks. I was doing artwork for teachers. I was doing artwork for like the pet rallies and stuff like that. And so it's always been with me. And then I joined the military. And I think when I joined the military is when I kind of stepped away from art. I was like, okay, I'm in the military now, so I'm not doing any drawings. But every now and then I would pick up a pencil and paper and do it. And in 2003, I got deployed to Iraq. And that's when I did a lot of drawing when I was in Iraq, because I was drawing on letters and envelopes and sending them back home, because it was a way to occupy my mind. It was a way to keep my mind from going crazy when I was in the middle of Iraq. So that's what really helped me, and that's what kept me going. I got out of the military, and I kind of went downhill fast when I got out of the military, because there was really no outlet to do anything. So I turned to drugs and alcohol and pretty much just working dead-end jobs, living anywhere, just pretty much all like a bum almost, like a homeless person. I was living in Phoenix, I was living in Gallup, I was living in Farmington, I was living on the res, just kind of anywhere I can find a job and work and live, and that was it. And then 2008, I met my wife. We kind of started a life from there, and she was the one that was telling me, you should go to school and use your GI Bill and see what you can do with it. So I said, yeah, that works. So I enrolled at UNM Gallup. I took a lot of architect classes, which involve a lot of drawing on drafting, AutoCAD. And so I kind of eased my way back into drawing and stuff. And it was fun. I really enjoyed it. And then I started drawing a little bit more from there. And I graduated from UNM Gallup. I transferred to the main campus here in Albuquerque. And that's when I enrolled in art studio courses. And that's where my life as an artist, I feel like as an artist, it really took off from there, because I was exposed to so much art at UNM that it just, all that passion, all the memories and all the things has helped me. And so that's where it really just came all back to me. And I started doing more art. I started going to art shows. I started doing like little gallery shows and call for art. And so that's where it really came back to me. That's what really helped me out. And art was my outlet for my PTSD and everything else that I got when I was in the military, when I was in Iraq. So all the PTSD that I was going through was making me do drugs and alcohol. But when I started doing art, I completely sobered up. And so now art is a way to, as an outlet, to stay away from drugs and alcohol, I do art.
I really commend you on recognizing that. And I always know how art can heal people, you know, mental, spiritual, physical healing, you know. And I've seen it heal children who've been through trauma or lost their loved one, and they're just closed up. They don't want to talk. And then when you introduce art to them, it just opens up. And I really understand what you're saying about, you know, art healing you, especially from your post-traumatic stress and any trauma, you know. And I think that's an important part of this conversation, because within Navajo Nation, you know, we do have our social ills, you know, we do have alcoholism and domestic violence and all the things that the, you know, United States has in their culture too. But with us, you know, I think that we come from traditions of art way. I always call it art way because in the Navajo philosophies and teaching, they always teach us about be using your hands, you know, don't be idle. And I could see you being taught that from your, you know, my son, you know, from your grandma.
Yeah.
And you know, you always just seeing her working at her loom, working at her loom when she don't have other work to do, she's actually still being creative, you know. So that's an inspiration. That's really nice that you were able to be with your grandma, your grandparents. So I'm an alumni from UNM too, so go Lobos.
No, go Lobos.
Yeah. Nice. So, well, you know, I always hear good things about the UNM art studios. And, you know, I've had a lot of friends who've gone there, and you said you met a lot of artists, you've seen a lot of art there. What are some of your modern influences or even like past influences of artists that you, you know, draw inspiration from?
I think a lot of my influence, I try to push myself to be more creative. I try to push the boundaries of what art is to me, because like I have a background in graffiti, and so that's what really helps me with my vibrant colors and stuff. But I like to look up to people like Bahi Whitethorn Sr., and he's one of the first guys to actually sit me down and have a conversation with me and have a whole conversation about art. He says, don't get stuck in one way. Just always push it and always try something new. He goes, don't be afraid to explore options. And so that always stuck with me. And he's one of the main guys I always look up to. Like I was telling you, like growing up, I never really knew like Native American artists or stuff like that. And so I've never really had a big influence as far as Native artists, because I went to UNM and they didn't really emphasize on Native artists. It was more of art in general. So I got to know like Rothko and Pollock. And I feel like me as an artist, I get a lot of influence from those artists, like the colors they use or their style that they use or their like emotions that they use to make art. And that's where a lot of my background is right now, is I like to, because being in the military, I lost all sense of emotions. So I don't really know how to express myself as a person, but I know how to express myself through art. I give a lot of influence from like Pollock.
Nejone. That could be a good thing too, because, you know, most of the time, you know, we as modern Native people, as Navajo people, we go on to college and we get influenced by philosophers. It's cool that, you know, you drawing some inspiration from these two leading artists that we had in our past. So I want to talk to you a little bit about your process of art, Nate. Do you have a studio? And then like, what is your medium that you love to go to? And what is the work that you're known for?
So as far as a studio, I just work out of my house, and I turn my little dining room into a studio, to my own little studio before dinner and after breakfast. So nothing clean during lunch or during the day. It's messy, but I have to clean it all up, get it all ready again. But that's my little studio here. As far as process, I don't really have a direction that I'm going with my art. Like I kind of just go day by day. Like I just feel like drawing, or there's a series that I do called Chaotic Healing. What I do is I have a variety of canvas sizes painted already on the background, and so what I do is I wait for the rain, and when it rains, I paint the, like kind of like the background. I put it outside, I let the rain do the work, and then I bring it back inside, I let it dry, and then it sits there for sometimes a few days, a few months, and it just kind of comes like, so I'll just be driving one day down the road and I'm like, oh, that's what I'm going to paint on that canvas. And then I'll come home and I'll paint on there. So I don't really have a set process on how I make art. It just kind of comes at a moment's notice.
When you look at the old artists back in the day, that's what they did. They would really like tangibly experience art. And it's so nice to hear that you're using nature kind of as your muse. Yeah. The rain is falling on your painting and it's creating this process for you. You're the first person contemporary wise and a native that I've ever heard doing that. You know, I know artists that work with sand and, you know, they go out and get sand, and but I've never heard of anyone actually using the elements to help create their art. I think that's really something, Nate, because it's sort of this kind of divine inspiration, you know, because, you know, here in the Southwest, we love water. Seeing rain as a blessing and not as a curse is really important as an artist. So I think that's really great that you're doing that, Nate, because then, like you said, you come back and you look at your art. You mentioned that you call it chaotic healing. That's what happens as humans. You know, we have this chaos in our life. It can be mental chaos, spiritual, or physical. The juxtaposition of healing within that is very important, because I think you're recognizing as an artist that art isn't just to be beautiful and to just do in this happy special moments, you know, like you see on TV, the Bob Ross, he has this, he's just perfect studio and his perfect painting and all the things, you know, which is cool. I love Bob Ross, but you know, in the real world, like you speak about indigenous artists, a lot of us are still healing from these genetic traumas that we've inherited. And mm-hmm. so I think for us, we see art as a tool. You know, and when you look at our Navajo elders, even today, still practicing traditions, they're making sand paintings for healing. That's art. How much more of artists could Navajos be? I mean, just look at, they're making these literal motifs and these structures on the ground from the natural pigments, and their whole point of it is to be able to heal people. And that's how I see painters and other artists too. We make these art images that are going to help someone down the way. Now, that painting might not sell for a good year or two, or it might sell the next day after we made it. Art is meant for that certain person. Yours especially, because, you know, you're a male artist, and I feel like your content is reaching all audiences, but I think a lot of times our Native men struggle, especially here on Navajo, to really get in touch with their sensitive side or their expressions, and they can do that through art. Can you tell us a little bit about what is your actual content of your artwork? What imagery are you drawing or painting? What's behind all that?
With my artwork, what I'm focusing on is the Navajo story of like the Yebiche stories, songs that, because my brother is a medicine man, and so I listen to his words and I see the songs that he sings, I hear the stories that he tells, and so I kind of interpretate that into my own stories of painting what he's talking about traditionally, but I'm painting up more of a abstract versions. So I'm painting an abstract version of my Navajo stories, my Navajo culture. You know how like people always say like, oh, you're not supposed to paint that because it's not that time of the year. But I'm more telling of a story.
That's good. I commend you for that, you know, because if those of you who haven't seen Nate's artwork, he works a lot on different types of archival papers. And I'll let you talk a little bit more about that, Nate. But his content is more figures. I always see you do hummingbirds. And then, you know, men and women. So, you know, you are telling story through these images of our Navajo people. Can you tell us a little bit more about what kind of papers you work on and what is your actual tools that you use to create your artwork?
Recently, about a year ago, I was introduced to ledger art by a good friend of mine. And he was like, here you go. He gave me some ledger paper. He's like, why don't you try drawing on something like this and see what you can come up with? So I was like, okay, cool. And so I got it, and I was sitting there, and I was like, I don't know what to draw. I'm used to drawing, like, hummingbirds, and I'm drawing hogans and stuff. And then I kind of did my research, and I was like, okay, ledger art is a way to tell a story or tell a history, a moment in time. So what I started doing is I started looking at the title of the paper or the date of the paper or the origin, like, where the paper originated from. And just things like that. I started looking more into that. And so then I said, okay, instead of just drawing a hogan, instead of just drawing a horse or just throwing something on there and say, this is art, I wanted to tell more of a story. So now I look at the paper and it says like 1933. And I'm thinking, okay, 1933, history and Navajo culture. I said, the Navajo code talkers were probably getting ready to be recruited for World War II. So then I would draw like a Navajo warrior before they went to war on what they would look like, get a real estate paper, and I would draw something on there like that resembles, like I have one, for example, from 1885, a real estate paper from Pennsylvania. So what I did was I drew Chaco Canyon, like the ruins on what it looked like in 1885, or just things like that. So I try to tell stories with, I've gotten some ledger papers from doctor's office, and what I did was I looked at the date 1935, and then I tell the people when they look at my art, I tell them in 1935 it was very uncommon for a Navajo person to go to any kind of medical facility, to doctor's office or to nurse's office. So instead of going there, they went to go see a traditional healer, and they would go do a sand painting or some kind of ceremony. And that's why on my ledger papers, when I have like my doctor's office, I draw like a Navajo sand painter, or I draw a Yebiche, which represents a healing spirit, a blessing spirit. And so I put two doctors, one modern doctor and one traditional doctor, which is the Navajo culture, onto one paper. So I tell people that's what I'm doing, is I'm telling stories from my culture onto the paper from your world. A lot of people really love that idea, that I'm able to tell a moment in time. And I've actually gotten asked quite a few times if I was a historian, because I was telling the story so well.
You seem to be understanding your role as an artist, and especially as a Navajo male artist. You know that, whether you're aware of it or not, you know that people are coming to you with questions, you know. And a lot of times when we meet our prospective collectors at art shows, they want to know more about us and what our story is. And so when they like a certain painting, they'll say, can you tell me a little bit more about this painting? And then that's when you do what you do. And that's so awesome, Nate. That's really great that you're using the paper for its content and not just using it because it looks pretty or it looks nice. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason for everything that you're doing. I seen you at Santa Fe Indian Market really quick. I was walking by and you were talking to a potential collector, I assume. And I seen you talking about your ledger art. And then I think I seen you had won an award recently. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And where have you been traveling?
This past year alone, I got to travel to 4 different art shows. I did the Hertz Museum in Phoenix, and then I did the Autry Museum in California and L.A., and then 2 weeks after that, I turned around and went to the Idle George in Indianapolis. Then I came back and I did the Santa Fe Indian Market. And I won my first award earlier this year. I won honorable mention in the New Mexico State Fair. And no, that was last year. That was my first ribbon. But this year, I actually got a nice blue ribbon at the Idle George in Indianapolis.
Wow.
For a piece of ledger paper that I did on an old marriage license. And so what I did on that was I took the marriage license and I drew a Navajo couple that were getting married with a Navajo basket. She was holding a basket and he was standing there, facing each other. So I won first place for that one. And that was really awesome. It was, people really, really loved it, because the people that bought it were just like, they were walking by and they saw it. They stopped and like, oh my God, that is beautiful. Like, and they were living in Indianapolis. They wanted to buy it right then and there. And so I asked them, what is the significance of why you want to buy this one? And they had gotten married in New York. They wanted to buy it because the marriage license was from New York. That was very significant to them. And they were like, wow.
Wow. That's amazing. See, as I said, your art is always meant for somebody specifically. And, you know, again, we go back to this idea of art as a healing mechanism, Nate. You know, for them, that probably also helped them in their marriage in some way. You know what I mean? Like, so they're seeing these signs. They're like, we got to buy this guy's art. And now they have a great story to tell about that artwork when they have people come to their home, you know. Yeah. I just love art. I mean, Nate, it's just such a community builder. And I always tell people, you know, what would we have done in the pandemic without artists.
I know that for sure.
So what was your quick experience during that time? You know, like you, now you say you travel, but during that time, did you do a lot of art?
During the pandemic, I did a lot of art. I was sitting home and I had, she went online and I bought a bulk of canvas from Michaels. I sat here and just painted. And that's when I came up with my chaotic healing series, because like I said, that was a moment in time where the world was in chaos, and we all needed a healing. And one day I was sitting here and it started raining. So I was like, I'm going to try this out. So I did so I had my canvas ready and I went out there and I put like a rainbow on there, and I put it outside, and I was watching it, and it just, the rain was just making these chaotic splashes and everything on there. And I was just, wow. So I brought it inside and I just sat there and looked at it. And as it dried, the water dried and everything dried up, the paint dried and everything. And I was sitting there and I was like, that came out beautiful. And so I drew, what did I draw? I drew a Yebiche on there, right in the middle of it. I drew a Yebiche, and that's when I decided like I was going to do a series called Chaotic Healing, because the process of it was, I mean, I splashed paint on there and I threw paint on there, and then I took my time painting this Yebiche. And so the chaotic part was the rain, the splashing, and just how crazy it looked, just all the colors and everything. And then drawing that process of, it was a healing. It brought all that calmness down, and it brought all the anger and everything that was on there. It brought it all into one. And I started doing more with it, and people just were touched by it. Like, they really loved it and how it would touch them. And like you were saying, sometimes art is meant for certain people. I had a painting that I did with that chaotic healing. I had it for 2 years and nobody was buying it. And people really loved it, but nobody was buying it. This lady I met in Phoenix just fell in love with it. And when I told her how the process of that painting went, she fell in love with it, because she said that her daughter was going to school to be a marine biologist. And so she works with a lot of water and stuff, and she just loved it. And so she bought it as a gift for her daughter, because she's like, my daughter's going to love the fact that it was made by water.
Gosh, there's so many ways that we can help people with our artwork. And for us, we take it for granted as artists, because I feel like, you know, we are born artists because our ancestors were artists. So it's in our roots. It's in our DNA. And a lot of times Navajo children and adults, we don't even have to try. We just can do the artwork. Yeah. And I think we take it for granted sometimes, because we're like, oh, we just can draw, you know, whereas you meet some people and they're like, I can't even draw. I can't even draw a stick figure. I'm like, well, you're still drawing. That's a drawing, you know?
Yeah, I tell people, I said, you're doing? I said, I can't draw a straight line to save me, but I practice every day.
Art has meaning. It's not just, hopefully it's not just made to be able to sell. I hope that we as artists, especially as Native artists, understand our role in our communities, where we know that the art we create is meant for somebody else. And I think that's an important part of who we are, and our mission as Navajos is to really understand that, you know, in our stories about where we came from, our certain clan groups were made to be the artists. And the whole point of us being artists is to help our community of Navajos, but then also the greater humanity community, you know. So that's really great. I think you're in a great spot, Nate. And I think you're very inspirational to me too, as a younger artist, and you really know what you want to do and why you're doing what you want to do. Real quick before we end, what are your future plans for the rest of the year? Are you going to go any more shows, or what do you look forward to in the future now, Nate?
Well, right now for the rest of the year, I applied for the Smithsonian Art Show in Washington, D.C. and New York. As you probably know, they only accept 35 artists a year out of 1,000 that apply. So I applied for that, and then I also, I'm still on the wire if I want to apply for the Colorado Indian Market. But as far as that, I've just been home and just making artwork and just relaxing, enjoying the time with my wife and my kids, because, like I said, I did the Herds, the Archery, Idle George, and Santa Fe, and that's like within a 4-month span right there. And so I was really working hard to make artworks, relaxing, enjoying the time with my wife and my kids, and just kind of just go day by day and see what happens if I get accepted into any more shows.
Okay, gosh, that sounds like a good plan, Nate. I'm glad that you have your wife and your kids there to help you, and you probably inspire them too. Can you give us a little bit of information on your public art, like where you have social media and where people listening can go and look at your artwork, if you have a website, or give us a little bit more information on that?
Right now, I don't have a website. I just mainly just go off of Instagram, which is on Navajo Khalifa, or you can look up Nate Nez. I work with a gallery here in town, Wright's Indian Art Gallery. Other than that, I just kind of just go with the flow and just whatever I have available online. If people see it, they love it. And eventually, I want to start a website and go from there. But for now, it's just Instagram and Facebook.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good, you know, because that's where I keep up with a lot of artists. This was a really good conversation about artwork and why you do what you do, Nate, and your personal preferences on what kind of art you make.
Since it's, I probably won't see most of the people, just have a good, enjoy the rest of your year and have a happy holiday with your family and always be nice to one another. Just always respect one another and carry yourself in a good way.
Yeah, biga. Thank you, Nat. Thank you. And this was Native Art Voices of the Four Corners, and we thank you for listening. Agoana.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.